Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Philippians chapter 2. Ha, I thought I was going to go to Luke. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 is a unique and different verse to be used for our Christmas service this morning. Yet, here we are. You'll see in this passage of Scripture that it covers the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It covers the idea that he was born. It covers the idea that he died. It covers the idea that he was resurrected. It covers the idea that he is exalted and he'll be worshipped. And I want you to know Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There you have his deity. But made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now you find his birth. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now you find his crucifixion, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him. Now you find his resurrection. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that verse number 6 tells us that he was being found to be God. And verse number 7, he became man. Verse number 8, he died. Verse number 9, he resurrected. Verse number 10, he will be worshipped by all men. That passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, it wraps up everything nicely for us. We have Christ's deity, his birth, the gospel, and of course, his forever being worshipped. Now you can go back to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11, and you'll find this passage of Scripture. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This morning I want to talk about a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I need you. We are desperate for your help, guidance, and leadership. Thank you for the testimony of Rick. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your protection. Father, stir hearts and minds. I never want people to doubt their salvation, but if a person doesn't know you, please reveal that to them so that they can make that choice to accept you this morning. Thank you for what you've already done, what you're going to do. We're totally dependent upon you. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing that I want us to notice this morning is Jesus is God. A lot of people stop short at calling Jesus just the Son of God. I've heard that often. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Well, he's the Son of God, and friend, he is. He is the Son of God. That is true. The Scripture clearly tells us that he is the Son of God. However, many people fall short of realizing that he is God. They may consider him a demigod. Some people consider him a demigod. They consider him half God and half man, but that would be incorrect. He is 100% God or full God, and he is 100% man and fully man. He is God in the flesh. Philippians tells us that Jesus was God. The passage, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is simply saying Jesus is God. He is equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. These three are one. He is God. We know it's the Holy Trinity. You've heard of it before. Jesus is not just the Son of God. He is God. And what he did for us is mind-blowing. He who sat upon the throne of the universe and had all power at his disposal. He who created all things. He who is God humbled himself. And I want you to see, number two, that not only is Jesus God, but I want you to see that Jesus was born. He was born. He humbled himself to come to this place called earth. Many people marvel at the story of the babe born in a manger. I marvel at that story. Although I've heard that story for 45 years now, it's still a marvel that God would come to earth. The story is well known by those of us who live in America. Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary, a young teenage girl who had never known a man. A young lady that was engaged to marry a man who was poor, his name was Joseph. Why these two? Why did God choose these two? Many reasons, I'm certain. I have preached on these two individually in years past. But many of us wonder, why such poor people? Could Jesus have been born in a palace and have died for us? Absolutely. Jesus could have been born to a king on this earth. He could have been born in a palace. He could have grown up in royalty and still had died for us. He could have. So why a manger? Why Mary? Why Joseph? Why such difficulty in finding a place to even have Jesus? Why a barn or a cave? Why not a palace? I propose the answer. God wanted us to understand as much as we could what Jesus was giving up. See, if Jesus were born in a palace, if Jesus was born in a palace to a king, we would have read the story of him leaving his heavenly throne, and we would have imagined him living in the nicest earthly palace and thought, well, he didn't give up that much. But the truth is, if he would have been born in the nicest of luxuries here on earth, it would have still been the biggest sacrifice that God could have even made. But we wouldn't have understood it. But Jesus decided to help us out a little bit. He decided to help us to understand that him leaving the earth, heavenlies, by him leaving the throne of heaven and choosing to be born in a manger, every one of us think, now that's a sacrifice. I mean, if he was born in a palace, I want you to know it had been equally the sacrifice. A palace and a manger, a palace and a cave meant nothing to God. Both of them were of the lowliest estate. A king or Joseph meant nothing. A queen or Mary, that wasn't the point. Him coming to earth, no matter where he would have been born, would have been mind-blowing if we would have understood the truth behind it. But he decided to help us out and said, well, these people, they're going to think palace is pretty awesome. So let me be born where no one else would ever want to be born. In a manger. I know of people born in strange places. Maybe the back seat of a car, rushing to the hospital. That's where our twins were born. They were born in the back of our Explorer. I know of people born in airplanes or hotel rooms, not able to get, maybe able to get to a hospital. A lot of people were born in homes. Maybe some of you were born in a home. But nobody that I know of was born in a barn. Stinky, smelly, nasty barn. Now we make the manger scene nice, don't we? You know, Mary, she looks so well after having a baby. Joseph looks calm and peaceful. The shepherds nicely groomed. The sheep baying at every command. The cattle lowing. But let's be honest. It was a barn. And it smelt like a barn. And Jesus was in a manger where they put cow food. I mean, this, in our minds, we think, If the President of the United States and his wife were pregnant and they were to go out to town and they were to have their child in a barn, we would say, oh my goodness, the King of, the President of the United States had to have a baby in a barn. Wow, what lowly, what humility. But the King of the universe did that. Jesus, who is God, was born in a manger. He humbled himself. And he gave us a taste of what, a taste so that we might just be able to understand a little bit of what he gave up. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is prophetic. 750 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah foretold it in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou, though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." The city of David, this city Bethlehem, became the place where Christ was born. In the word in Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread. Some translations, some the Arabic meaning of Bethlehem is house of lambs. Either one is correct, because the bread of life or the Lamb of God was born in Bethlehem. But why? Why this story of birth? Why did God choose to leave the splendors of heaven to be born in a manger in Bethlehem? Why? So I want you to not only see Jesus as God, and I not only want you to see that Jesus was born, I want you to know that Jesus was born to save. Again, let us see Luke 2:11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus was born to be a Savior. A Savior of what? A Savior from eternal death. A hero to die in our place. Just recently, my wife and I were able to take our daughter Summer for her 18th birthday to a place she's always wanted to go. She wanted to see New York City. So we decided for her birthday that's what we would do. So we took her to New York City, and I planned on being back Friday afternoon, but of course New York City is so big and we weren't able to see everything that we even wanted to see, but we did the best we could, so we made a list. And Friday morning I decided that we were going to go and see the 9/11 War Memorial Museum at Ground Zero. It's only been open since, I believe, May. I thought I would be in there for an hour or so. About 5 hours later, I made my way out. I went in when it was day. I came out when it was night. By the way, I would highly recommend you go and see this touching memorial museum, but you better take a box of tissues. You'll need them. There are so many things that stand out in my mind about that museum. Voices, phone calls, last words, powerful. Stories of heroes running into buildings to save one more life and losing theirs. I didn't even get to see it all, and I spent 5 hours. One picture caught my attention that probably many people overlooked. And it's okay to overlook something because there's just no way that you can humanly comprehend everything that you're seeing. What amazed me? Can I tell you what amazed me? There were probably 9,000 people there in this museum under the World Trade Centers. And it was a holy hush. As if babies knew that they shouldn't be crying. 9,000 people just walking through this mausoleum, the sacred ground to us. The stillness and the quietness of everybody is still amazing to me. And so it's impossible for you to comprehend or see everything, but there was this one picture that caught my attention. It was a picture after 9/11 of people standing in line to donate blood. It had to be miles. Nobody knew what to do. They wanted to help. They didn't know how. So they did the only thing that they could do. They gave their time. They gave their blood. I'm telling you, they stood in line for 8 to 10 hours. Not to ride a ride, not to see a celebrity, but to do the only thing they knew to do. When I saw that picture and I saw the line, I thought, wow, heroes. They didn't rush into buildings, but they didn't know what else to do. They did the only thing they knew how to do. They gave their time and their blood. But I want you to know that there's somebody that did so much more than that. He gave his eternity and he gave his divine blood for you and for me. See, we look at people at 9/11 and rightfully so, we say heroes, fire trucks that were demolished that are sitting in that museum, ambulances and police cars just a wreck. Baby clothes laying because those babies were on the planes and that was what they found on the ground. Voices. Watching the Pennsylvania, listening to the Pennsylvania thing, listening to all the people that made phone calls and you could hear what they were going to do, and hearing the hijackers on the planes talking and telling the people that it's going to be okay. And then our heroes on that plane breaking through, causing them to crash the plane, forfeiting the ability to destroy the White House or the Capitol. We're not exactly sure where they were headed. Heroes wanting to live, knowing they'd probably die. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ trumps all of that. Jesus was born. Everybody that was born, from infant to the oldest person, wanted to live on 9/11. And they fought to live. Desperate to get out of the building, they were jumping out of windows, knowing that there's no pulse, but thinking that maybe they could survive a jump from hundreds of feet in the air. Not just one. Many warnings on the label saying, please, if you're in here, these are very traumatic pictures. And they're right. Never to be erased from my mind. Because they wanted to live. Everybody that is born wants to live, but everybody that is born will die. But Jesus Christ, he was the only one that was born for the sole purpose to die. And I don't think we can comprehend and understand that correctly. Jesus came to earth knowing as a baby, knowing as a boy, knowing as a man, knowing that he had 33 and a half years and his life would be ended in a tragic, horrific way. And yet he still came. Nobody would have joined the plane on 9/11 if they knew they would have been crashed into a building. Nobody would have gone to work at the World Trade Center on 9/11 if they knew that building was going to be crashed into. Nobody would have gone to the Pentagon that day if they knew that the building was going to be crashed into, because the preservation of life is important. But Jesus knew it, and he still came. He still came. It's very possible that there were some firefighters and police and EMT workers that were going into buildings thinking they may not come out alive. But from every account that I heard, they all wanted to come out alive. Get out, get out. The buildings are falling. Get out, get out. Knowing that they have to leave more, not to be able to help anybody else. Go see it. They deserve it. But Jesus Christ deserves you. You don't deserve him. He deserves you. He died for you. He is God. He was born, but he was born to be the Savior. He was born to die. Last Saturday, Rick got to experience the reason that Jesus was born. Have you experienced the reason that Jesus was born? He deserves you. We remember the tragic day of 9/11 and we focus on the heroes. But my friend, as heart-touching and heartwarming as the heroes were on 9/11, how much more should our hearts be warmed and touched at the hero who was born over 2,000 years ago? He is our Savior. He is our true hero. See, all of mankind that is born will die, but Jesus was born to die. He was born to be our Savior. And my question this morning, is he yours? Jesus was born to be the redeemer of our sins, born to die, and Jesus, who is God, was born to die to be our Savior. And I want you to know that Jesus is Christ the Lord. He wasn't born to be Christ the Lord. He was already Christ the Lord. He wasn't born to be Christ the Lord. He is and always will be and always was Christ the Lord. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then may I explain to you that He is the Savior of mankind. You don't have to get saved, but you should. You certainly don't have to die and go to hell. No, He came to die so you wouldn't have to. Trust Him this morning. Let Him be your Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Out of the 3,000 people that lost their life on 9/11, my mind always goes to thinking, how many of them were saved? How many of them knew Christ? How many of them tragically died that day to tragically wake up in a place called hell? I would like to say all of them were saved, but I don't know that. Do you know if you would be saved if it were you on that day? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? That's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus, Christ the Lord, coming to earth to die, to save. The greatest gift that you could give Jesus is you. He's already given the greatest gift. Himself. Accept Him this morning, will you? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. This Christmas season can be the best Christmas season because it is the Christmas season that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to hope you're going to go to heaven. You'll know it because He saved you. Do you know? Do you know that you know that you know where you're going when you go? Do you know? If you don't, you can.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.